بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our sixth session reading from منهج يومي لطالب العلم, a daily routine for the seeker of knowledge مع الإمام محمد ابن صالح الأثيمين رحمه الله, from the commentary of Sheikh عبد الرزاق, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, we're going to begin looking at the third area of this advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. The first area of advice is one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Sheikh mentioned four points there. And the second area is, the relationship one has with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh mentioned three points which we completed last week. And this third area deals with one's actions, one's daily actions outside of the obligatory duties, outside of the obligatory duties. And the Shaykh mentions five points here. And the final section of this advice is dealing with the path of seeking knowledge. So tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to look at the first two points that deal with the منهج that a seeker of knowledge has in reference to their daily acts of worship outside of the obligatory duties. Before we look at that, we're going to first look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, mention the second advice given by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second advice under one's manhaj with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, help me with your name. Abdullah. Okay, that should be easy to remember. Abdullah, mashallah. That a person takes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their imam in everything in our life, in our worship, in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in our character and manners and morals in our dealing with the people. Anybody want to add to that? What else did the Shaykh say in this second advice related to the manhaj with the Messenger of Allah? Taking him as your imam in your acts of worship and in your character and manners in dealing with the people. How do you do that? Now, okay, you take him. By following his sunnah. Tayyib. More detail.
Calling to mind that you're acting upon the sunnah.
Calling to mind every time you do an act of worship, calling to mind that you're following, that you're a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that you do the act of worship the way that he did it. And likewise, also, as part of taking him as your imam, he said what? Yani fi mukhalaqati an-nas. Yani in your dealing with the people, also call to mind that you should be exhibiting the character and manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the akhlaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about it in the Quran. He said what? About the Prophet? Naam. Wa innaka la'ala kulukul azim. Keep it calling in mind that in our dealing with the people, we should be exhibiting this character that Allah mentions in the Quran, which said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed, definitely, certainly, you are upon a high standard of character, meaning upon the deen of Islam. And finally, the Shaykh, the final point he made, which is related to the next question, we'll save it for the next question, inshallah. The final point that he made is related to question number 2. What is the relationship between taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your imam and being eager in seeking knowledge? What is the relationship between taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your imam and thereby becoming eager in seeking knowledge? Fadlu Ahmed.
Because you'd want to learn more of the sunnah so you can implement.
Because if you are serious about taking him as your imam, you have to be serious about learning. How did he worship? So that you can worship the way he worshiped. How did he deal with the people? So you can deal with the people the way he dealt with the people. So it becomes incumbent upon a person who is serious about taking the Prophet ﷺ as the Imam in the relationship with Allah and worship, and the relationship with the people, and their morals and manners and character. They have to be serious about seeking knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ's worship and his dealings with the people. Question number 3. Memorize the ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab 33:21, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the example, the model, and imam for the believers. Huh? The ayah. Naam, fadl. Ahsan, mashallah. Naam, Zakaria. I said Ahzab. If I'm mistaken, then correct. Sah? Tayyib. 33:21. Naam. The meaning of this ayat. Anybody tell us what is the meaning of this ayat that he just recited? لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِي. Naam. Zaki. Naam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, certainly, definitely, you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent example. Yani a model that you can follow in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For whoever has hope in the last day, yani whoever has hope in Allah in the last day and who remembers Allah much. Question number 4. Discuss what taking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as one's imam, what does this entail? Taking him as your imam, what does this entail? Number 1. What does it entail? Tell us one.
That you follow him in everything.
Okay, that you follow him in everything. Ali.
That you're diligent in seeking knowledge of the Sharia.
Okay, that you're diligent in seeking knowledge of the Sharia specifically. Naam. Amir.
That you imitate him.
That you imitate him. Yani that you actually try to be just like him. Naam. That you take his speech and actions to be higher. Yani, prefer it. Give it precedence over the speech and actions in sunnah and guidance of anyone else besides him. Naam.
That you follow him in character.
That you follow him in character. Tayyib, that you follow him in character. Yani, the Shaykh mentioned 4 things that cover basically what we are talking about here. 4 things that he mentioned that yani would be required of a person to travel upon his path, to follow in his footsteps exactly, yani to take him as a model and an example, and to give preference yani to his speech and to his sunnah and to his guidance over any other speech, sunnah and guidance. Question number 5. Mention the third advice given by the author, rahimahullah, under one's manhaj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third advice that the Shaykh mentions. Naam, Yusuf. A caller, aider, and defender of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he called to his sunnah, support his sunnah, and defend it. Naam, Ahmed.
As a result of that, Allah will support you to whatever extent that you support the sunnah.
And the Shaykh said, as a result of that, Allah would support you to whatever extent you support his sharia, yani his sunnah, support his deen. Naam. The last question, discuss why the one granted success in taking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one's imam, why that person should invite to the sunnah? Why is it that the person who has been given success in taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the imam, why must they call to the sunnah? Naam, Sharif. Okay, because at the end of the advice of the Shaykh was because Allah would support you to the extent that you support his Sharia. Also, the Shaykh said here, yani leading up to that, that's the core of the meaning, but he also said up to here, Naam, Talib.
Because if you have been given success to follow upon the footsteps, then it's incumbent on you to follow upon the footsteps of the Prophet and the khair.
It is incumbent upon you to call others to the khair that you have been given success to be upon. Naam. To be a teacher of it. Naam. And that's also an important part of the answer. The Shaykh said, this deen is mansurun. Bika wa bidunika. The deen of Allah is going to be victorious, with you or without you. So it's in your interest then to call to this deen and to support it and to defend the sunnah, because by doing so you will benefit. Allah's deen is going to be victorious, with or without us. But if you support it, then you will also benefit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support you to the extent that you support His deen. So these are some of the things that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as we mentioned already, we're going to be looking at the next area of the advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. The advice related to one's actions, one's daily actions, acts of worship, outside of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon us. See that. So we're going to be reading in English, I think, from the bottom of page 32. And we're not going to read this whole section, but we're going to read from 32 to 36, to the top of page 36 in Arabic. We're going to read from the bottom of page 38, up until the top of page 43. So in English, we're going to be starting on the bottom of page 32, in Arabic, on the bottom of page 38. And the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, and Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, ثُمَّ قَالَ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ Then he, rahimahullah, said, yani the Shaykh, the Imam, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, then he said, ثَالِثًا, yani this is the third area of this advice, yani the daily minhaj of the seeker of knowledge. ثَالِثًا, عَمَلُكَ الْيَوْمِيُّ غَيْرُ الْمَفْرُضَاتِ Your actions, your deeds, which are done daily, other than the mafrudat, other than the things that Allah made fard upon us. Then he says, yani the Shaykh Abdul Razak says, he explains what is meant by غير مفروضات. غير الفرائد التي افترضها الله عليك. Yani, other than the fara'id, yani the things that Allah made obligatory upon you, other than those things. Other than those things, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, ماذا تعملوا? Any other than the things that Allah made obligatory upon you, what do you do in your life every day? What do you do? Yani, a person might say, what am I doing other than what Allah has made obligatory? Or what will I do? Yani, if I'm not doing much now, what will I do other than what Allah has made obligatory upon us? And as we look through these simple matters, five very, very important simple matters that the Shaykh has listed here, and he could have listed many more. But obviously, being a real scholar of Islam, he selected those things which were essential. And a Muslim can't actually, and he considered himself to be upon a Sirat al-Mustaqim, to be upon the Sunnah, unless they are doing these things. He mentioned five things. Tonight we're going to mention the first two of them. And next week, we'll be tired of the remaining three. Shaykh says, so what are you doing? Or what will you do? Yani, in addition to what we are already doing, which Allah made obligatory upon us. He made, the things He made obligatory upon us, that goes without saying. We're already doing that. Inshallah, we're already doing that. So now, what are you going to do besides that? Yani, is that sufficient? Or are we going to try to be better Muslims? As the Khatib said in the khutbah today. I don't know whoever was here, mashallah. Tremendous, yani, beneficial khutbah, inspiration and motivation for anybody who's alive, whose heart is alive. There's no Muslim except that every single one of us should be trying to be better Muslims. And if you have already arrived, there's a problem. If you think you have already arrived. And the people who are better than us, they didn't think they already arrived. They died feeling that they have fallen short in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever imagines that they have already arrived, that's a problem. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, الشيخ وضع منهجا محررا جميلا جدا ينبغي حقيقة أن نتأمله وأن نعني بتطبيقه. So the Shaykh, he says, yani the Imam, Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, he has set forth for us a manhaj, yani a daily routine or schedule, muharraran, that is clear and precise and well written, that is jameelan jiddan, very, very beautiful. It is incumbent, in reality, it is incumbent upon us to examine it carefully, to look at it carefully, and to give care to its application or implementation, and to give care, not to recklessly, carelessly, just do something or some of it or whenever we want to. To give care to its application. Examine it carefully and give care to its application. Qala rahmatullah alayhi. Yani the Imam, may Allah's mercy be upon him, he said, number one. This is the first of 5 points that Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen has mentioned under this third area of advice, that is, your daily actions other than the obligatory duties. He said, number one, إِذَا كُمْتَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَذُكُرِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. If you get up during the night, then praise and glorify Allah. أُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ. Praise and glorify Allah, the Most High. وَدْعُ اللَّهَ بِمَا شِئْتَ. And supplicate, dua, supplicate to Allah for whatever you wish, whatever you like, whatever you will. فَإِنَّ الدُّعَى فِي هَذَا الْمَوْتِنِ حَرِيٌ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. For indeed, dua, supplication in this particular position, in this place, on this occasion, when a person wakes up in the night, dua at this time is likely to be accepted. It is expected that it will be responded to. وَقْرَ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And recite the saying of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَتَّى تَخْتِمَ سُورَةَ آلِ إِمْرَانِ وَهِيَ عَشْرُ آيَاتِ. Until you complete, and you read these ayats indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth, to the end of it, until you complete the Surah Ali Imran, third surah of the Quran, and to the end of it, to ayat 200, which are 10 ayats, if we round them off. You need that ayat and the 10 ayats that follow it. The second point that the Shaykh makes in this advice, or in this area of advice, he said, ثانياً يقولوا, and I'm skipping a few pages to go to where the point the Shaykh makes the second point. On top of page 43, it says, ثانياً يقولوا رحمه الله صلي ما كتب لك في آخر الليل واختم صلاتك بالوتر. يعني pray whatever has been written or decreed for you in the end of the night, and finish your prayer with witr. So here the Shaykh is mentioning two things. When you wake up in the night, he said, praise and glorify Allah. Supplicate to Allah for whatever you will. And recite the saying of Allah in the end of Surah Ali Imran. The last 10 ayats of Surah Ali Imran, beginning with إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And then, that's the first point of this third area of advice. But then he says the second point, and the reason why I'm reading the second point, because the Shaykh in his explanation goes to the second point. He goes to the second point, and we want to know that in his explanation, he's actually going to the second point, and that is, pray whatever has been written or decreed for you in the end of the night, finishing your prayer with the witr. So before we read what the Shaykh says under this advice here, the Shaykh, if you look at the advice of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, and recite this ayat until the end of Surah Ali Imran, and there are 10 ayat, and then he says, Qiyamul Layl, inda kathirun nas. And the Shaykh begins to talk about Qiyamul Layl, which is the second point. Yani, pray in the night, yani whatever Allah has decreed for you. And finish it with witr. Before I read the Shaykh's explanation of Qiyamul Layl, we want to go back to the first point, which he doesn't actually talk about here. And that is, he said, if you wake up in the night, do what? Udhkur Allah. Mention Allah, praise and glorify Allah. And then he said, do what? Supplicate. Supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever you will. And then he said what? Recite these ayats from the end of Ali Imran, Surah Ali Imran. So as far as the recitation of the ayats from the end of Surah Ali Imran. We talked about that in the second session of this book. In the second lecture, we talked about that. When we talked about Yani, the Shaykh was saying, look at the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reference to Yani, being diligent in always being with Allah, calling to mind the greatness of Allah and reflecting upon His ayat. Al-ayat al-qawniyya wal-ayat al-shara'iyya. Reflecting upon His ayat. In that point, number one, the first Yani point of advice from the area of the manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Shaykh mentioned about reflecting upon Allah ayat, and he mentioned that from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to recite these ayats from the end of Ali Imran. And in that place he mentioned the hadith of Ibn Abbas. And I mentioned at that time that hadith is reported by Bukhari, four narrations. Three of them through Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and one of them from other than him. Four narrations back to back. Please go back and read them, because we don't have time to read them again tonight. But hadith number 4569 in Sahih al-Bukhari. And the three narrations that come after that. 4570, 4571, 4572. The core of what he mentioned in this hadith is that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, I spent the night with my maternal aunt, Maymuna radiallahu anha, and she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent some time talking to his wife, Maymuna radiallahu anha, and then he lay down to sleep. And when it was half of the night, or a little before that, or a little after that, and some of the narrations say in the last third of the night, and there are four narrations here, he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat up. He sat up and he looked in the sky and he began to recite these ayat. Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilafil layli wan-nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. Yani indeed in the creation of the heavens and earth and alternation, indeed the creation, inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard, and the alternation of night and day are signs for the people of understanding. Ibn Abbas said he began to recite these ayat and then he stood up. And what did he do when he stood up? And some of the narrations say he wiped his face, wiped the sleep from his face. And this is from the Sunnah. It's mentioned in at least two or three of those narrations in Bukhari. And then he took the water skin and he made wudu. And after he made wudu, then he used miswak. This is very, very important. This is the Sunnah. And the Sunnah of our Prophet is why a person has to be diligent if they want to take him as an example, because you have to know what he did in order to be able to do it. You can't do it if you don't know it. And then he brushed his teeth. And then after that, he prayed the night prayer. In the first narration, that's from other than Imam Malik, he says clearly that he prayed 11 rak'ah. يَعْنِي وَاسْتَنَّ فَصَلَّ 11 rak'ah. Then Bilal came and called the adhan, and then he prayed 2 rak'ah, and in some of the narrations he prayed, rak'atayni khafifatayni, 2 light rak'ah, yani brief. And then he went out to the people and prayed the sub, yani the fajr prayer. In the other three narrations that came through Imam Malik, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, mentioned specifically how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. And he prayed, thumma salla rakatayni, 2 times, thumma salla rakatayni, 3 times, thumma salla rakatayni, 4 times, thumma salla rakatayni, 5 times, thumma salla rakatayni, 6 times, he prayed 2 rak'ah. That's how many rak'ah? 12. Thumma awtara. And then he prayed 1 rak'ah witr. 13 rak'ah. That's the way it's narrated in the narration that came through Imam Malik in hadith number 4570, and in hadith 4571, and in hadith 4572. In every one of them, he mentioned specifically how he prayed. 2 rak'ah and 2 rak'ah and 2 rak'ah until he prayed 12, and then he prayed witr. And this is just a point. It's a point that the Prophet ﷺ sometimes did pray more than 11 rak'ah. He prayed 13 rak'ah. Ibn Abbas narrates it. Three narrations collected by Imam Bukhari. In some of the narrations, there are some other things mentioned, but you know, we don't have time to go into them now. We talked about the hadith previously. The second thing that I want to mention here, very importantly, is in reference to what the Shaykh says here, yani about when a person gets up in the night, that they should praise and glorify Allah. And then they should supplicate to Allah with whatever they will. And then they should do what? Read the ayats from the end of Ali Imran. So those ayats are mentioned in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. As far as praising Allah and glorifying Him and supplicating to Him, it came in a narration also in Bukhari, hadith number 1154. And this hadith is reported by Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, من تعار من الليل, whoever awakened from the night. And some of the scholars explained, تعار يعني استيقظ, he woke up, he awakened, praising and glorifying Allah. But specifically, it came in this hadith, من تعار, whoever woke up, من الليل, فقال لا إله إلا الله, وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد, وهو على كل شيء قدير. And whoever woke up in the night and recited these words. And some of the scholars said any words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are the words that came in this hadith in Bukhari. There's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. And He has no partners. And to Him belongs the sovereignty. And to Him belongs the praise. And He has power over everything. Then he said, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Yani the praise belongs to Allah, and He is the one who is free of imperfections, and there is nothing that deserves to worship except Allah, and Allah is the greatest, and there is no strength and no power except with Allah. This is how it came in this narration in Bukhari. In most of the other narrations, in the Kutub al-Sunan, in Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud and others, the wording came, instead of Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, it came, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, yani like this, in this order, the rest of it being the same, yani Allahu Akbar, wa la hawla, wa la quwwata illa billah, except that in the Sunan Ibn Majah, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. And Shaykh al-Albani said the narration is sahih. In the narration of Bukhari, after the person wakes up and they recite these words of praise and glorification of Allah, he says, Allahumma ghfir li. And in the Kutub al-Sunan, it's narrated as Rabbi ghfir li. Yani he's asking Allah, supplicating to Allah for forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive me. He said, if he says Allahumma ghfir li, when he wakes up after saying La ilaha illallah to the end of it, and he says Allahumma ghfir li, أو دعا أستجيب له, or he supplicates, any supplication. This saying Allahumma ghfir li supplication. If he makes this supplication, or he supplicates with any supplication, he will be responded to. He will be responded to. A person gets up in the night and praises Allah and then supplicates to Allah, he will be responded to. فَإِن تَوَضَّعَ وَصَلَّى قُبِلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. And if he performs wudu and then prays, his prayer will be accepted. And he can't get no better than that. You supplicate to Allah, you will be responded to. You make salat, it will be accepted. If a person wakes up in the night and prays and glorify Allah and asks Allah's forgiveness or supplicates to Allah whatever they supplicate for, Allah will respond. And they pray, Allah will accept it. This is a hadith as it came in Al-Bukhari. The wording, as I mentioned, in the Sunan, Kutub al-Sunan, a little bit different. But, yani, just further clarification. But, basically, the same format except the rearrangement of the words. Yani, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, it came in the Sunan, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. One other hadith I want to mention, as we get sidetracked a little bit here, with something very, very important, and that is, yani, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, when he said, yani, if you wake up in the night, praise and glorify Allah. This is confirmed here. And supplicate to Allah with ever you will, asking for forgiveness or other than that. Allah is guaranteed to answer you. And if you make wudu and perform salat, He has promised that He's gonna accept it. In another hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih, it's narrated from Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And it came like right after this hadith. The hadith of Ibn Abbas, Ibn Majah narrates it, and then in the next page, few hadith down, he narrates the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and then we're going to go back to the text of the book. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما من عبد بات على طهور. There is no worshipper of Allah who spends the night upon purification, meaning who purifies himself, make wudu before they go to sleep. However tired you might be, make wudu before you go to sleep. There is no abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Yani who spends the night ala tuhur, in a state of purification. Thumma ta'arra min al-layl. And then he woke up from his sleep. فَسَعَلَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا أَوْ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا أَعْتَاهُ. Yani there's no abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who purifies himself before he goes to sleep. And if he wakes up, فَسَعَلَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا, and he asks Allah for something. مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا أَوْ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ. If it's from the worldly affairs or from the affairs of the hereafter. Except that Allah will give it to him. And he guaranteed that what you ask for, Allah is given. So what is required here? That a person goes to sleep in a state of tahara. And they get up, and as in the other narration, praise and glorify Allah, and supplicate to Allah, whatever a person asks for, inshallah, Allah is going to give it. So we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from us. If we follow this sunnah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, yani we should be confident. And we should have husnul dhan billahi. And husnul dhan billahi, having a good yani thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what you expect from Allah, is because if you do good for the sake of Allah, you expect that Allah is going to return good to you. Hal jazal ihsani illa al-ihsan? Yani with Allah, is there any reward for doing good except good? Yani with the people might be something else. But with Allah, there's nothing that comes from ihsan except ihsan. And that's the husna dhan billahi, that if a person does good according to what Allah has legislated, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone, they can expect Allah is going to return to them good. The Shaykh, he says, if a person gets up in the night, prays and glorify Allah, supplicate to Allah, whatever you will, recite these ayats from the end of Ali Imran. And the second point he said, that if a person, they should pray whatever Allah has decreed for them in the end of the night, and finish it with witr. Pray whatever Allah has decreed. Yani when they wake up and praise and glorify Allah and supplicate to Allah and read these ayats, and make wudu and pray. And whatever Allah has decreed, whether it's 3 rak'ah, or 5 rak'ah, or 7 rak'ah, or 9 rak'ah, or 11 rak'ah, or 13 rak'ah, whatever Allah has decreed, pray it. Pray it, inshallah, and end it with witr. The Shaykh talks about the second point, that is the Qiyamul Layl. He says, Qiyamul Layl and the kathir min al-nasi fi hadha al-zaman dhahaba fi khabari kana kama yu'abbir ma sahar. And the standing in prayer in the night for many of the people in this day and time, dhahaba fi khabari kana. Yani he said, kama yu'abbir. And this is how the people say. In Arabic they say, dhahaba. بخبر كان. يعني بخبر كان, what is? يعني that's كان وأخواتها. People study Arabic. يعني كان means it was. يعني in the past. Like the people in the past used to do. He said this practice of standing at night is something of the past. The people used to get up in the night. The Muslims. But today, this has gone. It went with what? ما سهر. With staying up at night. In entertainment and recreation and relaxation, and whatever the people are doing, that they're spending their nights on the internet, on the television, on the radio, or whatever. I don't even know. I say that all the time because I really don't know if people even watch television anymore. I don't know. But we grew up with television. And today, what you have today, with these instruments of computers and stuff, and telephones, is worse than television, 1,000 times over. And people spend their nights with this nonsense. And because of this, there's no standing in the night. It's gone. For most of the people, he said. And the kathirun min al-nas. Fi hadha al-zaman. Dhahaba fi khabari kana. Kama yu'abbar ma as-sahra. Here, the Shaykh mentions this, the people staying up in the nights. He said, except, in the footnote 17, except if a person has a need, sometimes, then there's no harm as long as it doesn't affect his morning prayer. Yani the Fajr prayer. As long as it doesn't prevent a person from performing the Fajr prayer in the Jama'ah, in the Masjid. Yani with some energy. Not yani just dragging yourself to the Masjid and sleeping through the prayer. As long as it doesn't harm a person's Fajr prayer. Yani if there's a need, sometimes there's no harm in staying up in the night. Qala al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i, he says, yani rahimahullah, he says, كَرِهَ مَالِكٌ إحياء الليل كله. وقال لعله يصبح مغلوبا. وفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسوة. ثم قال لا بأس به ما لم يضر بصلاة الصبح. يعني الإمام الشاطبي said إمام مالك رحمه الله disliked, or we could even say hated, كَرِهَ. He hated a person spending the whole night awake. And of course, he's talking about people who are spending the whole night in prayer, not spending the night on the internet. He said, perhaps that person will reach the morning مغلوباً, yani overwhelmed with tiredness and dysfunctional, and not be able to perform the prayers. Or even, additionally, they probably definitely are not going to pray the night prayer. Forget about the Fajr prayer. They won't even get that. He said that in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our example. And he prayed for 2/3 of the night, or half of the night, or 1/3 of the night. And only on one occasion is reported an authentic hadith in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, and it may be in other books of Sunan, that the people prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last 10 nights of Ramadan until they said, we feared that we're going to miss our suhoor. And it's almost time for the break of dawn. We might not even get our suhoor. That's how long he prayed in the night with them. And in some of the narrations it said, some of them said, keep going. Why are we stopping now? Let's finish the night. That's how they saw it. But mostly, what Allah mentions in Surah Al-Muzzammil, the Prophet used to pray for 2/3 of the night, or half of the night, or 1/3 of the night. And that's mentioned in the beginning and the end of the surah. This is the example of the Prophet. Not the whole night, but praying for some portion of the night, according to a person's ability. He said, as long as it doesn't harm the person's performance of the morning prayer. Sheikh Abdul Razak says, the footnote goes on the next page. That's in Al-Tisam. The footnote goes on the next page. The Sheikh Abdul Razak continues in the footnote. He says, قال Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, as-saharu as-shara'iyyu min salatin aw dhikrin aw kira'atin aw kitabati ilmin aw nadharin fihi aw darsihi aw ghayri dhalika min al-ibadat. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the legislated sharia, staying up in the night, that's legislated in Islam, is that a person is engaged in salat, or in the remembrance of Allah, or in reading the Quran, or in writing knowledge, or examining it, studying, looking at the knowledge or studying it, or other than that from the ibadat. This is the sahar, spending the night, that's legislated by the sharia, is that a person spends the night engaged in worship. And that, in that spending the night, spending the night in that, is not the whole night, but the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he slept in the beginning of the night, and then he prayed in the last third of the night. That was his last practice, and then he slept a little bit more, or he lay down on his right side before, until Bilal came to call the adhan for Fajr. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, wal afdalu yatanawwa'u bitanawwi an-nas, that what is better from this sahar shar'i, what's best? Is it best that a person be engaged in salat or dhikr or qira'at al-Quran, or other than that? He said, what's best? He said, it varies with different people, with the variation of people. Some people, what may be better for them is to be engaged in salat, and some people it may be engaging in reading of the Quran or dhikr or dua, or other than that. What's best? Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, what's best? This varies with different people. Those who are following in Arabic, we're going back to the first page, page 39. Last line, Sheikh Abdul Razak says, وَالْحَاصِلْ الْآنْ عِنْدَ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. In short, right now, for many of the people, in نَشَفَ حَافَظَ عَلَى صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ. If that person is really active and energetic, then he will perform his Fajr prayer. حَافَظَ عَلَى الْفَجْرِ. He'll still perform the Fajr prayer. Many of the people who stay up in these parties and events and celebrations in the night, when the adhan for Fajr comes, they go straight home to bed. I've seen this myself in Saudi Arabia, in Medina. Not to mention where else. They go to bed. In Nashatha, the one who's really active and energetic, hafadha ala salatu fajr. At least he prayed the salatu fajr. But what? Amma salatu layl, wa qiyamul layl, wal inayatul bithuluth al akhir min al layl, فَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ لَا حَظَّ لَهُمْ مِنْهُ بِسَبَبِ السَّحْرِ. But as far as the night prayer, you need some of them who stay up at night might at least pray the Fajr prayer. But as far as the prayer in the night, the standing in the night, and giving care to the last third of the night, many of the people don't have any portion of this at all due to staying up in the night. وَلِهَذَا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم نَهَى عن السهر لأن فيه مضرة على الإنسان في منهجيته في عبادته وترتيب أعماله وفيه مخالفة لسنة الله الكونية. So he said many of the people, yani as far as the standing in the night in the last third of the night, most of the people don't have any share of this whatsoever. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ prohibited staying awake in the night. In some of the narrations in Bukhari and other books, it's mentioned from Aisha and others that the Prophet ﷺ disliked a person to sleep before Isha. And he prohibited and he disliked the people to stay up after Isha. And in other words, don't sleep before Isha until you pray Isha. And don't stay up after Isha because it's going to affect you, maybe making the Fajr prayer or praying in the night prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited this sahr, spending the nights awake, because it contains a harm and detriment to the human being in his manhajiyatihi fi ibadatihi wa tartib amalihi. Yani it affects the person's methodology, yani the way that the path or the road that they travel upon in their worship and in the arrangement of their actions and their deeds. It affects a person when they stay up all night long. In some of the narrations, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and there are a lot of hadith concerning these fairs, and we don't have time to mention them, but just in passing as a reminder to us, he mentioned the person who slept the whole night and he didn't get up to pray at all. He said what? Shaitan has urinated in his ear. And he said that the person who that happens to, his whole day is, he's inactive and unenergetic for the rest of the day. And the person who's used to praying the Fajr prayer, if they didn't wake up for the Fajr prayer, wallahi, that's what happens. Your whole day is ruined. How can you get through the day after that, after you miss the Fajr prayer? And some people miss the Fajr prayer every day. Allahu musta'an. He said, this staying up at night, fihi mukhalafatu li sunnati Allahi al-kawniyah. This is in contradiction, in opposition to the sunnah of Allah in the universal order of things. And here he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Qasas, 28th Surah, 73rd Ayah, وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. And it is from the rahmah of Allah. It's from His rahmah upon us. جَعَلَ لَكُمْ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. That He has made for you night and day. And He has made a time when it's night. And He made a day. He separated the time between night and day. This is from the rahmah of Allah. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Yani He made there to be night and there to be day. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ. To rest in it. And to seek, لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. To seek His bounty and His favor. And that perhaps you will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Surah Al-Qasas. The Shaykh explains the meaning here of لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ. Allah has made night and day, لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ, meaning that you find rest and comfort in the night. He has made the night for rest, not for staying awake. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and that you seek His bounties and His favor in it, النَّهَارِ, in the daytime. That's the time when you get up and go to work and seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, فَاللَّيْلُ فِيهِ السُّكُونَ. Yani the night is a period or a time of sukoon, of tranquility, peace, comfort, relaxation. وَفِيهِ الرَّاحَةِ, rest. يَأْخُذُ الْجِسْمُ حَظَّهُ مِنَ النَّوْمِ وَالرَّاحَةِ min awwal al-layl. So the body gets to take its portion or its share of rest during the first part of the night. And you go to sleep after Isha. ثُمَّ يَحْظَى بِهَذِهِ الْمَقْرُومَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ يَقُومُ فِي ثُلُثِ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ فِي الْوَقْتِ الْمُبَارَكِ. Then a person gets their portion or their share of this blessed, yani this magnificent, noble action. That is, he gets up in the last third of the night in this time of barakah, yani al-waqt al-mubarak, blessed time, full of khair, full of good. And in the last third of the night. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said concerning this last third of the night, that many of the people have no share in it whatsoever. Don't know what it's like to get up in the last third of the night. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said the last third of the night is when a person divides the hours between Maghrib and Fajr. Between Maghrib and Fajr. How many hours? Divide them in three. The last third is the last third of the night. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in a hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرُ. Yani that our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Blessed and Most High, He descends every single night to the sama' dunya, the heaven that's above the earth. حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرُ. When there remains the last third of the night. When it's the last third of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the sama' dunya. يَقُولُ. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tabaraka wa ta'ala, He says, من يدعوني, who will call upon me, فأستجيب له, then I will definitely answer him. من يسألني فأعطيه, who will ask me for something, then I will definitely give it to him. من يستغفرني فأغفر له, who will seek forgiveness from me, so that I will definitely forgive him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that the person who gets up in this time in the night, in the last third of the night, that he descends in this time, and he says, and who will supplicate to me so that I may answer him? It's just upon you, upon me to supplicate. Allah said, I'm looking for somebody to supplicate, and I will answer him. Ask for something, I will give it to him. Seek my forgiveness, and I will forgive him. And which one of us is not in need of Allah's forgiveness? Which one of us is not in need of our dua being answered and our needs being fulfilled? And this is the promise of Allah. Shaykh says, "Ad-du'a mustajab." The dua at this time is answered. "Istaghfir yughfar laka." Seek Allah's forgiveness and you will be forgiven. Ask and you will be given. Supplicate and your dua will be responded to. لكن هذه اللحظات الكريمة ذهبت عند كثير من الناس. However, these noble moments in the last third of the night has gone for most of the people. يعني they have no share in it whatsoever. ولهذا طالب العلم ينبغي أن يجعل له حظا من الثلث الأخير من الليل. And for this reason, it is becoming, it is befitting, it is incumbent upon the seeker of knowledge, and the person who wants to know how to worship Allah, so that they can have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's incumbent upon that person who is seeking knowledge, who is seeking to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon knowledge, it's incumbent that they make a share or a portion of the last third of the night for themselves. It's incumbent upon one to do so. The Shaykh says, بَدَعَ بِهِ الشَّيْخ فِي الْأُمُورِ غَيْرُ مَفْرُوضَ لِأَنَّهُ أَسَاسٌ يُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ مَا بَعَدَهُ. Yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he began in the affairs that are not obligatory, he began with this, the Qiyamul Layl, because it is a foundation upon which everything that comes after it is built. Yani the rest of the day after this, person gets up and prays, yani the two rak'ah sunnah of Fajr and prays the Fajr, Then he engages in dhikr of Allah until sunrise and prays Salatul Duha. And everything that follows is based upon this foundation of getting up in the night and praying to Allah for whatever a person is able to pray. Whether it is 3 rak'ah or 5 rak'ah or 7 rak'ah, even witr may be prayed as 1 rak'ah. Person needs to get up, yani we are in need to get up. So that this will be our foundation. Then the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, Anta, yani me, yani and you. Yani Anta means you, and me too. All of us, right? Anta, إذا وفقك الله سبحانه وتعالى وجعلت لك حظا من آخر الليل فبإذن الله جل جلاله يكون يومك مرتبا وحياتك تكون منتظمة. The vowing here is wrong. ويبارك الله لك في وقتك. يعني if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you success, the tawfiq, and He has made for you, and He has decreed that you will have a portion of the end of the night, yani for worshipping Him. If Allah decreed that for you, then by the permission of Allah, your yawmuka, yani your day will be orderly, and your life will be organized. And Allah, yani will fill, yani your time with barakah, with khair. And Allah, yani will bless. Allah will bless you, yani in your time, meaning He will make your time filled with good. Here the Shaykh brings a footnote and he mentions three things or three people. The first one, he says, Bata inda al-Imam Ahmad rajulun fawada indahu ma'an. A man spent the night with al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. So Imam Ahmad placed some water with him, and in whatever place he gave him to sleep at, he put some water there with him. قال الرجل فلم أقوم بالليل. The man said, and I didn't get up in the night to pray. I didn't get up in the night to pray. ولم أستعمل الماء, and I didn't use the water. فلما أصبحت قال لي لما لا تستعمل الماء. The man said, when I got up in the morning, he said to me, يعني Imam Ahmed said to me, Why didn't you use the water? فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ وَسَكَّتُ. He said, I was shy and I remained silent and I couldn't say anything. Why didn't you use the water? What do you think I put the water here for? For you, when you get up in the night, to make wudu and to pray. The man said, when he heard that question, he couldn't even respond. And he sakettu. I just was silent. I was too shy to say anything. And he was too shy even to make an excuse for himself. And you know, we're the people that got a lot of excuses. Somebody say anything, you got something kind of response. Automatic. Like it's recorded previously. He said, sakettu. I couldn't even say a word. At least he had some haya. Imam Ahmed said to him, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. ما سمعت بصاحب الحديث بصاحبي حديثا لا يقوم بالليل. I have never heard of a person who's from the people of hadith who doesn't get up and pray in the night. So I never heard of it. And Imam Ahmed like is amazed, astonished. Subhanallah. And you don't get up in the night to pray? Subhanallah. I never heard of a person from the people of hadith. Or we could say the people of sunnah. We are the people of sunnah. Who doesn't get up and pray in the night. I never heard of such a thing. Unheard of. What do you think about that? Subhanallah. Shaykh Abdul Razak said, ماذا تعملوا? So what are you going to do? Or what are you doing? Or what will you do? That's what he said in the beginning of this chapter here. What will you do? The Shaykh mentions the second story. وجرت هذه القصة Mahu lirajul akhar. And the same event, same incident occurred with Imam Ahmed with another man. So when he asked the man, why you didn't use the water? He said, فَقَالَ لَهُ أَنَا مُسَافِرٌ. He wasn't too shy to give an answer. He made up something like we do. He said, oh, I'm a traveler. Qala Imam Ahmed, wa in kunta musafiran. And even if you're a traveler, how you don't get up and pray in the night? We can't even say we're travelers. We ain't traveling. Hajj masruqun fama nama illa sajidan. Masruq, well, Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, says in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, he says that he was al-Imam, al-Qudwa, al-Alam. Yani that he was an Imam. Masruq, he was an Imam. An example, a model for the people, a scholar. He narrated from Ubay ibn Ka'b and Umar, and it is said he narrated from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, if it is authentic. And he narrated from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and Aisha, and Abdul ibn Mas'ud, and Uthman ibn Affan, and Ali, and Abdul ibn Amr, and Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu majma'in. The Shaykh mentions here what? Hajj Masruq. This great Imam of the people of Hadith, he made Hajj. فَمَا نَامَ إِلَّا سَاجِدًا. And he didn't sleep except in sajda. Meaning he prayed and prayed until he fell asleep praying. He didn't sleep except in sajda. That was his sleep. قال شيخ تقي الدين, يعني شيخ الإسلام تيمية, said, فيه أنه يقرأ لأهل العلم ترك قيام الليل وإن كانوا مسافرين. يعني شيخ الإسلام تيمية said, from in this narration is an indication that it is disliked or detested for the people of knowledge, or we can say for the people of sunnah, to abandon standing in prayer in the night, even if they are a traveler. Even if they are traveling, still there's prayer in the night. And the second point, which we already explained, yani qiyamul layl, the shaykh already explained, he said, ثاني أن يقول رحمه الله, yani the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, pray whatever has been decreed for you in the end of the night and end your prayer with witr. And we read this in the beginning because the shaykh explained it before he mentioned this point. Yani, pray whatever is decreed for you in the end of the night. Whatever it is. If it's not 11 rak'ah, then 7 rak'ah or 5 rak'ah or 3 rak'ah. Pray whatever Allah has decreed for you. A person can get up and go to bathroom, yani, of necessity. No escape from it. And just go right back to bed. Without making wudu and praying 3 rak'ah. He said, end your prayer with witr. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم witr. Make the end of your prayer, your night prayer, make it witr, meaning an odd number of rak'ah. 1 or 3 or 5 or 7 or 9, like this. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And just quickly, in the few minutes that's remaining, I'm going to share with you a brief commentary from Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen in his book, Fiqh Al-Ibadat. By the way, if a person doesn't have this book, it's a beautiful book, Fiqh Al-Ibadat. And if a person wants to worship, they need to know how to worship. And the Fiqh of Ibadat. Alright, there's Fiqh of, whatever, right? This is Mu'amalat, business and interaction with the people and all of this. This is Fiqh of Ibadat. He says, and from the Nawafil of the prayers, Salawat, is Witr. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَكِدْ النَّوَافِلْ. Yani, it's from the most, certain, required, most important of the voluntary prayers, the witr prayer. To the extent that some of the scholars said that it's wajib, that the witr prayer is wajib. وَقَالَ فِي الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدْ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ. Imam Ahmed said concerning the witr prayer, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْوِتْرَ فَهُوَ رَجُلٌ سُوءٌ لَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ تُقْبَلَ لَهُ شَهَادَةٌ. Yani, the person who abandons the witr prayer, he's an evil man. And it's not befitting to accept his testimony. Yani, if he testifies, we don't even accept it. وَتَخْتِمُ بِهِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. The witr prayer, it ends the night prayer. It's the ending of the night prayer. So whoever fears that he will not get up in the end of the night, then he should make the witr prayer before he sleeps. It's so important that if you think I'm not going to wake up, then make it before you go to sleep. That's how important it is. And whoever has hope that he's going to get up in the end of the night, then he should make the witr prayer in the end of the night after he has finished his voluntary prayers, meaning the qiyamul layl. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام اجعلوا آخر صلاتكم بالليل وترا. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, make the end of your prayers in the night witr. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Here the Shaykh talks about the number of rak'ah of witr prayer. And this is a fiqh issue. Yani that requires a lot of discussion. This is the summary of it. The least amount of rak'ah of witr prayer is wahida, one. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said that. وَأَكْثَرُهُ 11 رَكَعَ. And the most of it is 11 rak'ah. As Aisha narrates in Bukhari, that the Prophet ﷺ never prayed in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, more than 11 rak'ah. But we also know that Ibn Abbas narrated 13. وَأَدْنَى الْكَمَالِ. And the least of the perfect form of the witr prayer is 3 rak'ahat. Yani the least that you can pray is 1. The best is to pray 11 or 13. But the least, yani of the perfect form of witr, they should pray at least 3 rak'ah. But if you only prayed 1, it counts. So if a person makes witr with 3 rak'ah, فَهُوَ بِالْخِيَارِ, then he has a choice. If he wills, he can pray them straight through with 1 tashahud. Meaning he prays 1, 2, 3, and the 3rd rak'ah he makes tashahud. Not the way he makes maghrib. And in some of the narrations, the Prophet said, don't make it like the maghrib. Anyway, you make tashahud in the 2nd and 3rd rak'ah. If you pray it as 3 rak'ah, you have a choice. Either to pray straight through 3 rak'ah and tashahud only in the last rak'ah. وَإِنْ شَاءَ سَلَّمَ مِنْ رَكَعَتَيْنِ ثُمَّ عَوْتَرَ بِوَاحِدَ. يعني أي صلى واحدة. He said, but if a person wills, he can pray 2 rak'ah. يعني 3 rak'ah, he can pray 2 rak'ah and then give taslim. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And then complete the 3 with 1 rak'ah by itself, making 3. He has a choice between the 2. If he makes witr with 5 rak'ah, then he can pray them straight through jami'an بِالتَّشَاهُدْ واحد وَالسَّلَامُ واحد. And he will want to shout in the 5th rak'ah and taslim in the 5th rak'ah. In Jami' al-Ahkam, yani Shaykh al-Taymi mentions in another book, وَإِن تَشَاهَدَ فِي السَّادِسَ بِدُون سَلَام ثُمَّ يعني سَابِيَ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَا بَسْ. Yani he mentions a different way here, that if a person is praying 7 rak'ah, he's saying that a person can yani do tashahud in the 6th rak'ah without making taslim, and then get back up and do the 7th rak'ah and make tashahud again in the 7th rak'ah. But he also said a person can just pray them straight through. Yani 5 rak'ah, he said you can pray them straight through with 1 yani tashahud in the 5th rak'ah and salam. And he said the same thing with 7, you can pray them straight through all of them with 1 tashahud. And then in the last one, Yani praying tashahud in the last one, yeah. Or he can pray it in the 6th one, do tashahud in the 6th one and in the 7th. He said, if he prays them 9 rak'ah, then he can pray them straight through and sit in the 8th rak'ah and perform tashahud and then stand up and perform the 9th rak'ah, yani with tashahud and taslim. So in this case, it would be 2 tashahud. And one taslim. And in other words, you can pray 9 rak'ah, sitting in the 8th and sitting in the 9th. 7, he can also pray, yani like that. 7 rak'ah, sitting in the 6th and sitting in the 7th. And he said, in the 3 rak'ah and 5 rak'ah, you should pray them straight through and only make tashahud and taslim in the last rak'ah. And last point that I'll make here, I know it's time for the adhan right now. If a person forgets the witr prayer or they sleep past the time of the witr prayer, then he can make it up in the daytime. However, he should make it as an even number, not as an odd number. So if it was his habit to pray 3 rak'ah, then he should pray it in the daytime as 4 rak'ah. And if it was his habit to pray it as 5 rak'ah, he should pray it in the daytime as 6 rak'ah, like this, and he should make it even. Because it's confirmed in the authentic narrations that the Prophet ﷺ, one time sleep overcame him, or due to some pain, and he didn't pray the Qiyamul Layl, so he prayed in the daytime 12 rak'ah as an even number. And this is the end of what we want to say. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. That He grant us a thabat, steadfastness upon us, siratul mustaqim. until we return to him in a condition in which we are pleasing to him and pleased with him. May he grant yani recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and shower his rahmah upon those who have passed away, and fill their graves with light, and make them spacious, and admit them into his paradise, and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant comfort and relief to the Muslims who are tortured and persecuted and murdered in Palestine and other places, wherever they might be. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani grant them relief, that he grant them hifdh, yani protection from himself, from before them and behind them, and from the right of them and the left of them and above them and below them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani that this relief yani that he grant them relief, and that he also compensate them yani in this world, or yani more importantly in the next life. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.